Blog Talk Radio.
Right here and say, take it away. We got to plug it back in the studio and Janae can open up. And she has one guest on the line, a New York City caller at 464. So let's rock and roll. And thank you, Janae, for being
all
there.
Right.
Good.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Black Power Radio. I'm your local host, local chairwoman, local activist here in Washington, D.C., Sister Janae Cook Earl. I have my guests on the line. If you would bring them up, Shay, this would be the Reverend A.J. Varmer, Haru Hotel of the Holy Coptic Church is joining us tonight. You there,
peace
Reverend A.J.?
Yes, I am. Peace and blessings. Can I be heard?
Yes, we hear you loud and clear. Thank you for joining us on Black Power Radio. Your most informative radio show on Black Power Network. So I am just so excited. I got some beeping in the background. I'm going to try to mute it. My smoke detector is going crazy. So But we are here. I'm excited. We're about 2 weeks away from the Sankofa International Conference that you will be joining us for. I can't even explain to people how important this conference has become to me, and in just coming a full 360-degree circumference. I can't say a change, but a whole circumference of my life evolving and my different stages in my conscious walk. So if you would, Reverend AJ, can you just explain to them who you are and a little bit about yourself and what your mission is on this earth plane? Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I'm Rev. Dr. A.J. Walmer. They also call me Basesh Haru Hotep Tar. I'm with the Holy Cryptic Church of the Black Messiah. And we've been around now since 2004. Yeah, since, well, 2003, actually. Put our first book out in 2004. And what we try to add or contribute towards this thing called liberation or awakening, especially with this conference, this Sister Janae, that you put together with the Sankofa conference, what we try to bring is the way of the great Dr. Yosef Ben Yochanan. He wrote a book called The Need for a Black Bible, right? You know, so many of us from all of the different branches of consciousness, whether we be Moore from the Moore Science Temple of America with the Prophet Noble Drew Ali, whether we be members of the Nation of Islam, followers of the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, whether we be Hebrew Israelite, you know, Israelites United in Christ, whether we be, you know, whatever we may be. We have different dimensions to this thing called liberation, because we're being attacked from so many directions that there is no one definitive solution other than everyone doing their part and then putting all of these parts together. So the Holy Cryptic Church of the Black Messiah, what we work to do is to address the religious aspect, right? Looking at that Bible, looking at that Quran, looking at the history, the migration, the topography, the geography, looking at the anatomy, physiology, as it pertains to scripture, what people deem scripture, and seeing what their origins are, you know, whether they're an African root to the Bible. What are those African texts called? The great Timbuktu papyrus, the great papyruses of the Nile River Valley civilization, and how through cultural diffusion, the Greeks, the Romans, the Hellenists took these writings, repackaged them, and gave them back. And this is why the great Baba Yosef Ben Yochanan and Dr. Ben said there was a need for a black Bible. So what we attempt to do is to, I can't even say attempt because we've done it, is to take the Bible, the Quran, look at them in language, right? I'm a linguist. I've mastered the Hebrew language, the Arabic language, and Greek, and go through word by word in their own languages and uncover. What we find is when we do that, we've been able to uncover that what they translated ain't really what's there. What they're saying it says, not what it says. The chronological order, they've admitted, the Bible writers, even the Quranic translators have said that the Quran, and I, as a person who practiced Islam for many, many years, and learned Tajweed and Riwayat and Tartil and, you know, Hafiz and the whole nine, right, learned that these surahs or these chapters or these books of the Bible are not even in their correct order. So we attempt, for those who need it and can embrace it, let's put it in order, right? If I want to understand a book called the Bible, then that book should be in chronological order. I wouldn't go to school and study something, you know, I wouldn't teach my child Z, Q, W, Y, N, T, A, B, W, T. I wouldn't teach them that way, right? You would teach them in order. So what we do is we put it in order, and then we look at it with what we call African eyes. Right, because originally everybody on the planet was one thing, African, black people. There was no other thing other than melanin. If you didn't have melanin, you couldn't survive. It was too potent. And if we go through it as African people, right, melanated people, indigenous people of the planet, wherever we may be, and we actually tackle scripture from that standpoint and then translate it and put it out, which we've done, in book form, the same way theirs is put in book form, and then add the prophets of the latter day, add the teachings of Henry Clark, Dr. Clark, Barbara Clark, the teachings of Marimba Annie, the teachings of Francis Crest Wilson, the teachings of Neely Fuller, the teachings of Baba Elijah Muhammad, the teachings of Baba Marcus Moshe Garvey. Put them as pieces, Bibi Shahrazad Ali, take all of these greats, Van Sertima, Winnie, Mandela, Nelson, put all of these pieces together and form a unified doctrine, because each one of them was a specialist in their field. So that's what I attempt to do, and that's what the members of the Holy Cryptic Church of the Black Messiah attempt to do.
Yes, sir. Yes, you have. It's not an attempt. It's definitely you're doing it. And I just remember and recall back in, what was this, 2008, 9, 10, somewhere around that time, maybe 2010, when I began to study with you all in Greenville, South Carolina, with Brother Chris Brown and other brothers and sisters there in Greenville.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. We started so many years ago, and I was just inquisitive. And I remember getting your book, the original books of the Bible, and reading it aloud, well, reading it to myself while I was at work. And like you said, you're taking the language, you're taking the original text from the Bible and the original text from the Quran and putting it in chronological order. And I just, when I read this book, the original book of the Bible, everybody, I have never experienced the third dimension like that before in my life. It was like I was there when it was being written. That's how this book reads. And you must get you a copy of the original books of the Bible by Reverend Varma, Reverend A.J. Varma. I'm telling you, it resonates in my soul. I think about it all the time, and I don't know where my books are. In all of my travels, every time I go in a black-owned bookstore, I'm looking for your book. So if you have that information, please share it with us where we can get those books.
Definitely. First of all, when we come up for the event on the 6th of April, I'll bring you a copy, so I'll make sure I put one in your hand, my sister. And for those that are listening in, they can go to Journey, JOURNEY, Home, HOME, Group, GROUP.com. Just as it sounds, JourneyHomeGroup.com. Click on Store, and you'll find in there the African Book of Genesis. You'll find Papyrus 1, the original books of the Bible, and you'll find the Book of Revelations from an African perspective. Because so many times we as African people, melanated people, indigenous people, Nubians, melaninites, and the Moors, we don't recognize, or we're not aware, and there's no direct fault of our own, but we're not aware that there are ancient manuscripts from the Nile River Valley civilization birthed out of the Niger Delta culture that gives our records, you know, and then it's up to us. We don't have to present it so that the European or anyone else can accept it. We got to present it so we can accept it. The problem is not them accepting it. The problem is they already got theirs. And theirs speaks from the Greek, the Hellenistic, Prosedda, their writings, and they, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, everyone has a purpose in life, you know, and even the wicked seed, if you want to call it that, or the devil's seed, or the devil's agents, or the bad people, well, they're doing their job. I can't get mad at the devil for being the devil. I have a problem with the so-called righteous. You know, it doesn't say all it takes for evil to triumph is for bad people to keep doing what they're doing. It says all it takes for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. So my issue is with the so-called good people. We're sitting around playing good, and we're not getting anything done. We got to stop worrying about being good, stop worrying about being right, stop worrying about being praised for being a good person, and start worrying about doing what's necessary to survive and thrive. What every other sentient, aware, living creature wants: food, shelter, reproduction. We must control our food. We must control our shelter, and we must control our reproductive rights and what type of children we are reproducing and who the hell we are reproducing with. So that's how it works. When anyone wants to get that original book of the Bible, they just have to go to journeyhomegroup.com.
Yes, definitely have to go. You have got this. This needs to be a required reading for all people of color. Everybody conscious needs to be reading the original books of the Bible. Because I don't even debate people anymore about what I believe. Because like you told us, your belief It doesn't say it's the truth. It doesn't say it's factual. These are your beliefs, you know, and I've stood by the principles that you taught me my whole life. I work with different communities. I work in the Baptist community. I work with the Muslims.
Right.
I work with
everybody
because you told us to be atonists.
There is
no Islam without Christianity. There is no Christianity without Islam. And that's what you taught me so many years ago, and that's why people don't understand me. They wanted to criticize me and say, you saying assalamu alaikum and all praise due to Allah, and you saying thank you, Jesus, at the same time. I said all of it is relevant.
But what they don't realize is, what a lot of people, my sister, unfortunately don't realize is, you know, in our journey in consciousness, in our journey in spirituality, in our journey in religion, right, depending what each person's journey, ultimately, the journey is only about me, right? If it's only about me and what I've learned and what I believe and what I feel and what I think, then it's a very short journey because once I've learned it, once I believe it, once I think it, journey over. But if ultimately all of us are learning, each one teach one, that old saying, you know, Sankofa, go back to go forward. Go back to what? You know, go back to what to go forward to what? So if we're taking a journey, then the goal is not just for me. The goal is to take what I've learned and share it with others in such a way that they can receive it, that they can comprehend it, that they can understand it, that they can appreciate it, that they can learn from it. And then for that to happen, we've got to take a strategy out of the so-called devil's book, right? Being able to talk to people and meet them where they are. So if I'm talking in a church, I'll put on a suit and tie when and if necessary. And I'll go out there because if me saying, in Jesus' name, get you to listen to me talk about the Quran, then I'll say in Jesus' name. It takes nothing from me. When diplomats go all around the world, they have the old adage, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So they understand that religion, and I learned this from my mother, I love her to death, she would always say, Amadou, the two things that if you master, you'll be able to talk to anybody is religion and language. Because those are the two biggest barriers you're going to encounter. Politics you can get through because that's, you know, it's difficult, but it's not difficult to get through. But religion, if I understand your spiritual system, whatever that system may be, and you, first of all, most people are amazed if you understand their spiritual system. Just in that, they take a sense of, wow, you actually know what we believe the way we say we believe it. That's number one. Whatever that system is, whatever that culture. And then, of course, language. Right? Language is key. So we understand, and I'm sure you've learned this, Sister Janae, that as we travel, the goal is not about how much I know. The goal is about how much of what I know can I make real enough to change another person's life for the better. If not, then I'm no better than the so-called, you know, colonizer, invader, whatever you want to call it. I'm no better than them. We have to be able to take what we learn, share it with others in a way. As a matter of fact, I was just talking to the family a few minutes ago before I came on the air, and I was saying that, you know, the story of Osiris.
And the following week would be for leadership.
Right, the story of Osiris.
I mean,
are you still there?
That's been my plight the whole time I have been in activism. They couldn't figure out what I was. They didn't know if I was Christian, if I was Muslim. Go ahead. Can you hear me, Aqua?
You're coming in. You're both loud and clear. I think someone has to mute up. Allow me to do this right in this interim, in this spot right here. Let me put everybody's mic on and allow them to be there, and you know they're there, and then have each one of them to mute their line. So we do have quite a few co-hosts tonight. We have Dr. Truth Bay is on with us. We've got Sister Tanisha's out there. We've got our beloved sister, Black Switchblade, our National Minister of Education is out there, and we're just letting them know that their mics are. We can start with Truth Bay. Are you there loud and clear, Dr. Truth Bay?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
He's a Black Power. We're actually in a committee meeting as well.
Black Power.
We have our guest up on the line today.
All right, Black Power. Do you have Dr. Black Switchblade in Chicago? Are you there?
Yes, brother. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Black Power. Sister Tanisha,
Black Power,
are you there?
Me?
Black Power. She's there, Sister Tanisha. So y'all take it away, and
here,
I want everybody to mute up. And it's got two mics on our comrade and Queen Empress. Janae is in Washington, and our doctor out of New York. And then y'all can chime in as Janae brings them in. Thank you so much, and Black Power. Black Power?
Black Power. Oh, go ahead, Chris.
Oh, yeah, we were just in the middle of the interview. I didn't know what was going on. I mean, Empress G calling my name now.
Yes, we actually do a double duty. So,
right, I'm on double duty tonight.
Yes.
So
today
we're not going to hold the Reverend all night, though. Let's finish up the interview so he can get to things. But he will be joining us at the Sankofa International Conference. Reverend AJ, can you just give us your information, contact information, and we can move on to the next section of Black Power.
Okay,
well,
one of the things, anybody who wants to reach out to me, we tell them you can get the phone number 646-479-9465. And as long as and the people who deal with that line, you just literally have to put, you know, more information, just the phrase more information. And then they'll send back to you all of our links. Again, the number is 646-479-9465. And you just put more information. They'll send you the website, the Facebooks, the YouTube pages, all of the different ways by which you can get more information and even get in touch with me if need be. Sister Janae?
Give us a little bit on
All right, so thank you so much for joining us tonight. We are talking about the Sankofa event, very powerful, much-needed event that Sister Janae and Zynga is spearheading in D.C. For those who are just listening in, thank you for tuning in to Black Power Radio. Every Sunday and Monday, we'll be here from 8 to 11, giving you the most informative news that you won't find anywhere else. So can you explain our future guest? Can you tell us a little bit about the Sankofa and what your role will be there on April 6th?
Sister Janae, is that for me or is there another guest? I'm just making sure that I don't speak
out
of turn.
Yes, this is Dr. Truth Bay. Greetings to you, sir. How are you? Yes, sir.
Yes. Well, thank you for coming on as a guest.
And we wanted to you, for those who are just chiming in, to tell us a little bit about what you do and your role in the Sankofa event coming up April 6th in
D.C. All right. Well, I'm one of the speakers that's attending the Sankofa event next Saturday, in fact, the 6th of April. And I hail out of Liberia, West Africa, grew up in New York City, and been all around the world traveling. I'm a writer, author of many, many books and many lectures. And what we're bringing is this idea of, you know, everyone talks about restitution, and what we talk about repatriation. We talk about an aliyah. Right, we're talking about getting people to, no matter what our backgrounds, if we're talking Sankofa, going back to come forward or looking back to be able to move forward, then part of that looking back is we've got to look back to the continent. We've got to all make it our business in our lifetime to touch our feet on African soil. We have to all make it our business in our lifetime to get some form of connection to our genealogy, whether it is Moorish, whether it's Nigerian, whatever the gene is, get some kind of swab, send it off to African ancestry, go get on a plane, go to West Africa, South Africa, Central Africa, East Africa, wherever. Go there and make a link, make a journey home. Go find out where the original seed germinated from. So what I'll be trying to do during that weekend during that Saturday's event coming up is speaking to people from that perspective, and then understanding that when we go, knowing the importance of African-centered spirituality, whether it's coming from the Mandinka or the Iwe or the Fanti or the Fulani, and then how does that relate to the Moors or the Nation of Islam or the Hebrews or the Coptic? How does it relate? being able to connect between the two. You know, part of understanding, in fact, they had a thing back in 1979 called an NSA Memorandum 46 that was about keeping black people, signed under the Jimmy Carter administration, to keep black people from making any kind of contact to the continent. In fact, when former President Trump, when he was in, they had a whole thing going after black identity extremists with Jeff Sessions as his attorney general. So these types of things are still happening. And if there's anything that the powers that be globally want to do to prevent us from doing, must be the thing that might be a part of the solution. So if they're focusing on not having us identify with our black identity, then I would say that every black man, woman, and child in the Americas and beyond, identify with your identity. If they're putting effort into making sure you don't go back to Africa, then I would tell every black woman, man, and child to make it your job to go back and visit the continent. Anything they're saying, don't wear African clothes, that's the thing you want to wear. Whatever they're telling you to not do, try doing it. And whatever they're telling you to do, be leery, right? That's what, you know, during the event on April 6th, I'm going to be adding as my little small contribution to this conversation that will be taking place, to be able to show unity insofar as we all understand, no matter what our so-called beliefs, no matter what our background, no matter how we dress, ultimately we're all one people from this one continent where all life began and migrated wherever we ended up, or were kidnapped and taken to wherever we ended up. And in order for us to get back, get centered, you know, because oftentimes, my sisters, the problem is our default is the problem, right? We get into consciousness and we don't fix the default. So you meet a sister or brother, they read a book, they read Sertima's book, they came before Columbus, they get on, they start talking about it for 6 months, and then boom, they disappear, and you don't hear from them again. Or somebody else gets on, and I know you sisters, you ladies have seen this in your lifetime. They talk a lot of power and power and power, a couple of years, and they're gone because they never addressed their zero. What we advocate is, what's your zero? What's your default? What is the thing innately grooved into your subconscious mind that you loop back? You know, it's like as a man, if I had 20 partners in 10 years, that means every 6 months I'm changing a partner. If I don't recognize that this is a behavior that's counterproductive, I'll keep doing that for the rest of my life. If I can recognize that my default is to change partners every 6 months, then I can begin to extend past 6 months to 8 months, to 10 months, to 1 year, to 2 years, and inevitably get my life back. But most people, we don't study ourselves. You know, we're using the term Sankofa, and in that there is the reality of man, know thyself, human, know yourself, woman, know yourself. We've got to get back to knowing ourselves, not just our history, not just our black power, not just our black consciousness, but individually, who are you? What are you? Why are you? Where did you come from? And I'm not talking about slave ships, and I'm not talking about airplanes and boats. I'm talking about where did you, your personal mama and daddy, that mentality that shaped you, your neighborhood that shaped you, your environment that shaped you, where did that come from? Is that type of conversation with the 30 minutes or so that Sister Janae has asked that I speak, that's what I'm going to try to do, to spark something as a catalyst in the minds of those in attendance, prayerfully by the ancestors and hopefully by the Most High, the Creator, that it does that. If it does it for one person, then I've done my job, and that's what we'll be attempting to do.
Yes,
amazing,
definitely.
Amazing.
Amazing. And I just want to thank you, Reverend Hotep. Like, people, y'all don't understand. Please bear with me. I'm going to cry. I'm going to shed a lot of tears because I went through the fire to get to this place, you know, and I just thank God that he put me in the room with you all those years ago, and that was the only thing at times I had to hold on through what I experienced, was knowing that this day was going to come where we would be able to see and show and prove who we are and what we can do as a people together. Like you said, it didn't matter if I did it as a Christian. It didn't matter if I did it as a Muslim, but it has got to be done. I had to meet people where they were in order to make this happen, you know. And I never discriminated. I've had Christian people turn their back on me because I work with Muslims, okay? I've had
so that's,
people
that's part of the default.
Disown me because I say assalamu alaikum.
Well, here's the funny thing. You know, it's funny. When I speak to many Christian ministers and bishops, I tell them the same thing. I say, well, how did Christ enter a room? He said, peace be unto you. He spoke Hebrew. How would he have said it? Mashalom ka, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. All right, so what are we doing? Peace, he said, peace I bring with you. Peace I leave you with. Salam alaikum, shalom alaikum, mashalom ka. The same word. We're not going to let that, you know, cause us to break up. But the beauty is, my sisters, this is just the beginning. You know, when Harriet Tubman, when Sojourner Truth, when Winnie Mandela, when Francis Cress Wilson, when Marimba Annie, the ones that are living and the ones who are with the ancestors and fighting with us from our blood, from inside, when they all started, they didn't see today. Because, you know, if they saw Sukiyana and Sexy Red,
you
want
to transfer
quit.
The call to the
right.
vehicle?
They saw something greater. We have to push and see
yes,
something greater. Don't just see the moment.
Or say no.
Don't
stay
just
in private
the,
mode.
The
always
environment.
Available
see
or go back,
what's
cancel,
coming.
And help.
Fight for
yes.
what's coming. And as long as you do that, my sister, you will get it done.
I say. Thank you so much, Reverend Hotel. You know, when they said he was coming, I was like, who is that? You know, this is all those years back in Greenville, South Carolina, when I saw this man and I sat at his feet and I listened and I studied so intently, I got it. The toll bell rang for me. I heard the tones, y'all. I heard it. And people, I was like, what am I hearing? You know, and they were telling me that this is a gift from the ancestors. Like, you really have something special here if you're able to just be starting out on your conscious journey and the ancestors are communicating with you. And they have been through all the things that I've done. You know, during that time, I had just lost my mom to lung cancer. My marriage was in shambles. I lost my children. I mean, I went through the fire of a phoenix, and I had to really just struggle to just keep hope alive, you know. But I just thank you. I want to thank you and your wife for being who you are and answering the call of duty and the call of action, because the Holy Top Coptic Church is about action, y'all. They're not just talking about it. They are doing the work. They are doers of the work. They are doers of the word. And if you're looking for a church home, a true home, you will find your home there with the Holy Top Church. You really, truly will. Because they never made me feel unwelcome or unashamed because I wasn't this perfect person that Christians that want us to be so much. But
well, no, we got
I was
welcome you saying
being with open arms into their fold, and I appreciate
and you're saying
that.
It because we got Muslims, we have sisters that are members of our Kanisa, as we call it, and we're hijabs. We have Muslims, we got Christians, we got Hebrews, because all of them still come from one source, Africa. We have Moors, we have, you know, that are members, that are contributors. We're one people. Bring it all together as one. That's what this thing's gonna. It's gonna. The only way we're gonna win is that everybody brings their piece to the table. Everybody tackles their perspective, their angle. Everybody stays in their respective lanes, and we put all those lanes together, we'll control the highway. And so that's the beauty of what we're having.
Yes, it is. I say. So I thank you so much. Is there anybody else
thank
got
you
questions
for
Dr. Reverend Hotel? He's going to join me again on another podcast Thursday night. I'll be on the Harlem Liberation School.
I have a few questions, if you don't mind.
Okay.
This way, talking boss lady. How you doing? I miss you. Been having phone problems and everything. I'm going to get back in contact with you. Look me up under Makayla Wilson. Boss lady, that's for you. Hello? I have a question for the brother, if you don't mind.
Yes, ma'am.
They're going
yes,
to be,
my sister. Go ahead.
There are going to be a lot of questions, uncomfortable questions that needs to be addressed, such as Pan-Africanism. Now,
yes.
We understand that a lot of people from out of this country is coming here to unify with us to be on the board of reparations. Am I correct?
Yes, I believe some are coming over to be on the board of reparations. Some are advocating repatriation. Some are advocating indigenous status. So, yeah, I think you got a little bit of everything involved.
Okay, great. Because some people of mine was questioning, like, are we going to start with United States government getting reparations for the people who are lineage to this slavery first, or are we going to start from our homeland first?
No. You always start where you stand. You see, what I love is the Jewish people. That, you know, and when I say love, I mean I love the way they operate. The Jewish people were scattered all around Europe, and they were catching their hell in World War II. We were catching a lot of that hell too, by the way, even more so. But when they began to work, they didn't say, oh, everything's got to go to Israel. Oh, no, everything's got to be in America. Oh, no, everything's got to be in England. Wherever they stood, they worked with the same strategy. And then as they became empowered in England, empowered in Brussels, empowered in France, empowered in America, empowered in Portugal, empowered in Argentina, they put those resources towards the development of a homeland. The Chinese did the same. Right? You work from outside in. So me personally, that's just me now. I can't speak for every speaker. But I would never tell everybody, drop what you're doing. If you live in Zimbabwe, you can't drop everything you're doing in Zimbabwe and support everything I'm doing in New York City. But you can take what I'm doing in New York City and you can share with me what you're doing in Zimbabwe, and we can see in each other's strategy things that can be used to make us both successful. Then once we achieve our success of whatever the mission is respectively, because each land has slightly different laws, right? Each land has slightly different nuances, you know, of how you can go about doing what you're attempting to do. And then once we get that, as long as we stay in communication, open communication, very important, with each other, right? The diplomatic core of our organizations, once that is established and you begin to make the headway, then you pull it all towards the center, and you go from there. That's just like a beehive, just like an ant mound. All the ants go out, do what they got to do, bring that information back, filter it through a center, and goes back out again. That's going to be what it takes. So I live in the Carolinas. I go back and forth to Africa. I go back and forth to Europe. I go to the Caribbean. But wherever I am and wherever we have branches of our organization, each branch we say buy land. You in Jamaica, buy land in Jamaica. Grow food in Jamaica. Because me growing food in New York City ain't going to feed you in Jamaica when there ain't no food. That don't make sense. Grow food in Jamaica. You in Bahamas, get an acre, 2 acres, 5 acres in Bahamas. Grow food there to feed the people there. That's
okay,
true
my next question. Gotcha. Yes, okay,
right,
my next question. Are we only dealing with black and black only, or are we going to repeat the same thing and extend our hand to other races? What they want to call the black and brown coalition, when we know there is no existence to this day about black and brown people existing. But I feel like one of our downfalls. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
Here's the reality. I've been to Venezuela. I've been to Ecuador. I've been to Mexico. There's a difference between just black and brown and what's called Afro-Cubano, Afro-Mexicano. The largest population of Africans outside of the African continent is in Brazil. And there's brothers and sisters there who say, I'm African, I'm black. They're not saying I'm Portuguese. They're not saying I'm Latin American. They're not saying I'm Hispaniola. They're not saying I'm Spanish. They're saying the people in Puerto Rico from Falhaja, the Negroes, right? Black. They say I'm black. So we are going to work with black people, wherever black people are. But if you are a person who has some melanin, but you don't put black first, you don't put Africa first, then I got to let you handle your situation. Because everybody uses us to their agenda, and then once their agenda is completed, they disappear. But if you are Afro-Cubano, Afro-Mexicano, Afro-Boricua, or not Puerto Rican, Boricua. If you're Boricua, Taino, and you identify with your blackness, I can talk to you all day. We can put some work in. If you're Afro-Venezuelan or Afro-San Salvadorian, where you put Africa first, I'll work with you. But if you're going to put Africa 16th, I don't have time for it.
Correct. Absolutely. I was just wondering, and I needed to get some answers before I follow through, because I do plan on coming to D.C. in April to support our brothers and sisters in this revolution. So those were some things I did need to clear up to make sure that I'm in the circle of the right people instead of the messy Jessies that's out there that want to be on a rainbow coalition field, you know. So
yeah,
that's all I was had a few questions of. Thank you very much, as well
as
taking
so much,
your time out and reaching out to our brothers and sisters, not only nationwide but internationally. Me, Switchblade from Chicago, want to thank you personally for coming out and taking your time to spread the word as well as gaining knowledge yourself. And I'm out on that.
Well,
note.
Thank you
Chief
so much.
Black Power.
Thank you so much, my sister.
Black Power. Yes, sir.
We do have another
That's
question. One more question. I have a youth minister that has it. I don't know if Brother Wills Mike is open out of Baltimore, and he wanted to get a question in before he had to return to an appointment assignment. Can we get Will to the mic real quick to let them know we're just not all old heads up in here. We got some youth power as well. And Brother Will, are you there with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, sir. And we'd like you to introduce Brother Will is a dynamic brother out of Baltimore, and he can share the rest with you, but been a great stand-up guy and just helping out at the radio, helping out with the web, and just doing things as it comes naturally. And thank you for coming, Brother Will, because you're live on Black Power Radio.
Black Power to everybody and everybody that's going to be involved with the Sankofa.
Black Power, Black Power.
Black Power. I just had a question as far as, like children and youth and younger people will be able to attend this event?
Yes, they will, Brother Will. Yes, they will be able, but you have to register on Eventbrite. Like, I'm telling you this because the venue is subject to change. We had a cancellation, a major cancellation with Dr. Umar Johnson canceling, so I might be able to change the venue. So you want to make sure you register with Eventbrite. If you're bringing somebody, they need to register with Eventbrite if you're a guest speaker. Make sure everybody at least register and, you know, make a donation, $5, $2, whatever you can do. But I have to have your name on this list. Nobody will be able to just show up and get in and have access to these people. We won't be live streaming. We work on live stream, but we canceled that idea as well because we've had ample enough time to make arrangements for everybody, and I've been begging people to buy their tickets in advance, you know. And I have too many important dignitaries that are going to be in this room that I don't want to be uncomfortable at all, you know. And we're holding this in my neighborhood, to put it like this. I live in the same neighborhood where this conference will be held at. So I'm going to be inviting people from my neighborhood and my community to come, and I don't want them to have to pay. You know what I'm saying? I want them to be able to just walk in and come and be a part of the Sankofa International Conference because they're coming to hear from you. They're coming to hear what you have to say. They're coming to see what it is that Sister Janae has been cooking. For all these years, why I refuse to give up in the revolution, because, brother, I'm telling you, it's not easy to try to help our people. People have been doing this their whole lives. They've been giving up their entire life. I eat, sleep, and breathe revolution, you know, and it was until it's not going to be over with me, but it's going to be somebody in that room that this seed is going to be planted inside of that needs to be there. And I'm going to do my very best to get everybody there that needs to be in this room and make sure that you receive this download. Because we got a solar eclipse coming up 2 days later. You want to be in the room where you was there and you witnessed something as magnificent as this Sankofa International Conference is going to be. You know, I'm still in the planning phases, but it's already worked out. The people that are going to be there are already coming, you know. So all we got to do is show up and just make sure that we get our name on the list, because I have security that is so tight, I might not be able to get in. You understand what I'm saying? I might not be able to get in. My security is so tight. My security detail is not playing. I'm telling you, NFAC, their name is not fucking around coalition, okay? They're not playing with nobody. You know, General Hartsoff and all the guys from the Black Power Coalition, the Black Panther Coalition is coming. The New Black Panther Party is coming. The Fred Hampton Gun Club is coming. Who else just called me? George Jackson Grassroots is coming. Like, all of the major generals will be there. So you definitely want your name on this, and you want to be counted for and appreciated that you got this information for your people, because we're talking about land ownership. Did you hear what the Reverend A.J. Bummer said? Wherever they have a church, they own land and property, and they're feeding their people right off the land and the property. You know,
that's
understand
right.
What I'm saying? So when this starvation they trying to do to us come, I can just go to Jamaica, I can go to Ghana, I can go to Angola, you know what I'm saying? We can just fly on out of here and be okay, because we got the right connections. And it's not that we don't have the resources, we don't have the right connections. We don't talk to each other. We think somebody else is doing something that's going to steal our ideas when it's already been done. Everything that we have been trying to do is already done. You just got to get the right people in the room to make it happen. So that's what we're doing with the SANCO International Conference. Okay, and I yield my mic. Any more questions? Reverend AJ, I see your message. I'm going to send you the information on Eventbrite. You can go to eventbrite.com, SANCOFA International Conference 2024. And
I will do.
Okay. All right, y'all. You got the floor, Clarence.
Thank you
so much, sir. You can, I think we're going to another section on Black Power Radio.
Okay. All right. So I'll sign off.
If you can, for one last time, for those who may have missed this, a way to contact you. I know you've already given it, but for those who are numerically pure at heart, we want to make sure that they are able to contact you if they want to join and support your efforts.
Yes, Master Steve. Well, what we tell people is the quickest way is to text 646-479-9465 and put in the text message, more information. And the people who handle that phone line will send you directly to your phone the links to the Facebook page, to the YouTube page, to whatever it is to be able to get in touch with myself and those others whom I worked with and alongside of, you know, the doctors speak and things of that nature. So, again, 646-479-9465, and go to journeyhomegroup.com. Thank you, sisters, so much. Black power to you all, and I look forward to Sister Janae seeing you next Saturday, and I think you and I will be on the radio, you said, this week on Thursday.
Yes, on Thursday we'll be on the Harlem Liberation School with Brother E.I.J. Tiemba. So I'll send you that information. And thank you so much for your time tonight. It's a short notice.
Thank you. All right.
Is Brother Raheem Shabazz on the call, y'all? Okay.
Wow.
He might not.
Yeah, we definitely needed to get to have Reverend AJ to back on. He has such a look at his website, journeyhomegroup.com, and so many programs coming up. Believe the Ladies of Purpose Conference. He did speak a little bit about that March 29th to the 30th. So it's replica of a alternative educational hub of what we need, really, to wake up our people and sense of consciousness. So journeyhomegroup.com, again, check it out and be a part get some services, be part of the change. This is a wonderful, wonderful aspect of what we're asking, what we're looking for. And Black family, we have to start being proactive now. You know, when we have these special guests and they have done a lot of work in the community, it's imperative that we have all hands on deck.
Yes, we do have two mics that we wanted to open. One was in New York. We have our brother, Big Warriors, up in New York. And let me see if his mic is open. Big Warrior, are you there? Our Black Warrior.
Yes, sir, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Black Power.
Black Power. You are here?
Happy to have you this evening. You're live on Black Power Radio. He's in New York, so I'm calling
yes,
New York.
Sir. Yes, sir.
A Harlem kind of guy, right there.
Hey, just want to love y'all like I always have. Ain't nothing going to change. This love. This is a real deal, baby. Real people do real things in real time. I want to encourage the African family to simply, this is going it's way too powerful to be so simple, but it's something that must be done. We must take our humanity back. We must. It's time out to sleep at the wheel. Let me just quote Harold Melvin in the Blue Note to cut to the chase. The man said, wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more backwards thinking, time for thinking ahead. So this is what we got to be, y'all. So this is what I want the characters to do is take our humanity back. Don't forget none of us. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Remember Somalia. Remember all over Africa. Remember South Africa. Remember Haiti. Don't forget nobody. Remember, we are one. And don't just be localized. The problem I have far too often is I'm trying to have a global dialogue with local-minded members. Stop that, y'all. Wake up. We are a global family. A global family. Actually, a universal family. But I'm going to keep it simple as possible. We must not forget any of our people who are being destroyed by these tyrants. They're killing us like it's open season on us all year round. We have to wake up. Don't close your eyes to murder of our people. The rest of the world has closed their minds, their hearts, and some of them don't even have spirits. So I'm asking you, the children of the Most High, to open your minds, your heart, your eyes, your spirit, your love, your care, everything you can. I want to remind you all that I need help. Dr. Umar mentioned this month back. I mentioned it as well. Brendan Depper is about to be sentenced. This young man has some severe mental problems. Most of his life, he got pimped, exploited, if you will, by a white family. This young man has not committed a crime. He's been had a crime committed against him. Brendan Depper, he's 18 years old now. He's about to be sentenced to 30 years because he didn't get educated. He got placated and, well, let's just wait. Young man needs to educate him. They gave him a PlayStation. You feel me? Now, if you don't know something wrong with that, something wrong with you. This young man is about to be 30 years for not committing a crime. He needed help, and he didn't get it. So I'd like to get you all to help me, help him, help us. It's so much stuff, and I don't want to waste a whole lot of time talking about what I'm trying to do. I'm looking forward to being at the Sankofa Conference. I have a concept to introduce us all to called SWEET, and it is SWEET. It's a spiderweb economy that has eternal trans-global or pan-African ramifications. I'll see you all there, and I want to thank you all because we have to, I want to say, let's prep to set our design, write this standard. This is what we got to do, SOS, set our standard. This is what we have to do. The Black community is the only place on the planet where anything goes. You can't do that in nobody else's community but ours. Stop that. Stop that, y'all. We got to set our divine standard for the last time forever. In the words of Black Panther, show them who we are. Love y'all, family. Hotep, I'm going to drop the mic. Love y'all. Stay strong. And if you have another show.
And thank you so much, Brother Big Warriors up in Harlem, New York. And we have, brother, I think we have Shabaka is out on that west side, if we can tap him in. Out there in Oaktown, and he, half the time he in the Death Valley, Las Vegas, some kind of place, or in between San Bernardino and Tombstone. I mean, this guy is a Western kind of guy, but he keeps it doing all across America. I don't know, Shabaka, is your mic open?
Oh, yes, sir. How you doing, man?
Oh,
may peace be upon you.
Yeah. Listen to the and participating audience. So welcome to Black Power Radio, Shabaka. He's going to tell you about the enhancement, et cetera. Power to the people, Black Power.
Oh, always, Black Power, always. A shout out there to the sister there that's getting ready to do the you know, the event that's coming up there in the East. Shout out there to Dr. Truth Bay, you know, and her venture to become the Prime Minister of Haiti. We're here at Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. We were inspired by the 50th anniversary of the Black Panther Party. Also, too, our show will be on tomorrow night. Our chat room will be open for all of our haters. We really do enjoy our hate mail. We really do. It's because that's telling us that we are doing something right. Although we prefer the way of peace, but we are not going to sit up here and scratch our ass when it don't itch. We're not going to grin when nothing is funny. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to be like these sycophants like Uncle Tim Scott and stuff like that and Karen Bass and what have you. So, but what it is, Black family, it is up to us to take care of us. Dr. Marimba Ani has stated that the reconnection will be painful in her description of the Maafa, which is, as we all know, is a disaster so bad it is beyond description. Then, of course, you have those brain-dead Negroes who want to come up here and talk about a quote-unquote false lineage that they have with raping, slave-trading pedophiles who violated our family lines on the plantations of Georgia, South Carolina, Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, Florida, Virginia, and West Virginia, and some, and even in the northern states, as we know, like New Jersey, New York City, where they had slavery all the way up to, I believe, 1796. And I think Sister Sojourner Truth was instrumental in getting slavery abolished in that point. Now, one of the biggest goddamn lies that has ever been told is saying, well, you know, black people sold their own selves into slavery. Bullshit. Nothing could be further from the truth. The European, with his lousy, stinking, nasty ass, because he did not believe in bathing, had divide and conquer techniques that they had used on the continent, the same thing that they did here in North America. Now, the first biochemical warfare plan that you had is when the Caucasoid had came to the concept of, I'm sorry, to the continent of North America and was given the indigenous people here blankets laced with smallpox. But another thing that I find so very, very interesting, because I was over in Los Angeles yesterday seeing family members celebrating the solar return of a loved one, okay, is that when I look at this garbage called Hollywood of how they steal our talents, use it as their own, you see what I'm saying, put their false claims on it, and never want to give respect to the original creator of it. I believe Mama Africa had said it best, that because on the continent is that we handed down our traditions orally, okay, and you have heard me, Sheikh Imam Akbar and Dr. Truth Bay have dealt with and cussed out ass scratches on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, is because the griot would come down on a periodic basis and say, hey, get all your notes, get all your pens, your tape recorders, because I'm about to go over the family history, I'm about to go over the history of the nation, I'm about to go over the history of the sub-nations and what have you, and a griot at times will stand there for 48 hours straight and not repeat himself once. But however, you get damn fools like Sarge and Joe Gibson, well, the best way to keep the history is to write it down. And then, of course, we all know that history is written in that of the conqueror, you see. So he's going to try to tell me, well, is it possible that he could have made a mistake and all that? You see all this discreditation from this Eurocentric mind set, you see. And I would debate with any ass scratcher, any yassa boss, miseducated, educated, uneducated, totally ignorant, and hit them with these facts. It's because we're going off into our eighth season. We have a whole library here of references and what have you. And one thing that I must say is that, you know, when the solar return comes, you know, on the first day of summer, as they call it, hey, this desert, you know, will probably be at about 110, 115 degrees. So all those other races who state that we're all the same, bring your stinking asses out here to Sin City, and you got to leave your sunscreen at home, and I will prove to you within 15 minutes or less that we are not the same, is because we are the children of the sun. And then, of course, as we all know, the concept of Sankofa is the first step forward is going back to tradition. I yield for now.
Black power. Yes, sir. You see it there. Black power. Black power. Yes, we are geared up for the Sankofa International Conference here in Washington, D.C. Again,
yes,
this is
ma'am.
Our third Sankofa Conference. So
yes, ma'am, and you all are more than welcome to go, you know, to post up there on the Facebook like page of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhance about if any of all the upcoming events that is coming along there, sister. And Dr. Truth Bay already knows that she could do that. You know that, too, Sheikah Mom, and also, too, you know, Black Lightning knows that, and all of our well wishes as well. To and our haters, we love your ignorance, we love your hate mail, and if we were not on such important business right now, I would sit up there and I would read some of this garbage, you know, because I find it most amazing and most entertaining and most amusing. Is that some crackers gonna sit up here and tell me, well, what about the Greeks and the Romans and all that bullshit, when they went there, as Professor George G.M. James has pointed out in Stolen Legacy, and stole shit, as Mansa Musa had told his queen when he was having to go out there and handle the business, baby, get everything with you, you coming with me. And the queen would ask her, why are you taking me with you? He says, because I'd much rather die with you by my side than to leave you here with the potential of being raped and violated by these unclean, nasty, non-bathing, roach-infested, scumbag-infested savages, you see. And we are the thing. I am sweet-smelling. But you could best believe that color sees our black asses. Fine, great, beautiful. But we've got to see it. You know, his brother was just saying right there earlier where he had traveled through Brazil and Venezuela and all of that. See, we had landed there too. Now, there was some drunken bastard, I think his name was Columbus, okay, who called himself going to India, and which was east of where he was going from Europe, but he wound up going west and found out that Abu Bakari had been here years before. You see what I'm saying? Because you see, people, we are a great people where we come from. We are the original man, and I think Mr. Muhammad had spoke about this here in his teachings, you know, that Malcolm X had and Minister Farrakhan, you know, had carried on the torch, you see, is because this knowledge that we accumulate, ladies and gentlemen, is from thousands upon thousands of years. You see what I'm saying? And then we did not participate in this multicolored agenda about where a grown-ass man is talking about that he could menstruate out of the crack of his ass. Come on, that there is an insult to womanhood. Then they do not want to recognize the black woman as being the motherhood of humanity. Look at the power she has when she walked through Ethiopia, and the panthers would walk with her, the lions would walk with her, all those God's living creatures would walk with her and not harm her in any way. But when the stinking and nasty-ass cave beast comes out of Africa, what's the first, out of Europe, what's the first thing he did when he went to Africa is that he wanted to go kill every damn thing. I'm sitting up here looking at a photograph of some cave broad that shot and killed a giraffe. What do you want to shoot and kill a giraffe for? That there is one of the most peaceful creatures going. You know what I'm saying? And then, too, of how they always fear the emblem of the panther. What did Dr. Newton say? The panther is a peaceful creature. He is a defensive fighter. But when he is cornered, he will annihilate his enemy absolutely, completely, and unconditionally. Okay, just like these scrubs up there in D.C. with this congressional black college, gonna sit up here and let these white folks tell them, well, Black History Month, you know, is discriminatory. We make Black History 365 days a year, 24/7. But yet, though, in these current times, they want us to sympathize with some confused man talking about that he is a woman. And one thing I will say is that a lot of these sports leagues are saying they're not going to allow these dudes to compete with bona fide women, let them set up their own leagues, you see. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, also to Eshabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, and I forgot to mention your mom and Dr. Bay and Black Lightning, and appreciate Sister Switchblade up there out of the CHICAOGO, which was discovered by a black man by the name of Jean Baptiste Pointe du Sable, is that you got to have knowledge of yourself as opposed to prepackaged bullshit that they are indoctrinating our children with. You go to these public indoctrination centers, the first thing that our children want to do is go attack other children that look like them. They want these goddamn migrants to come in here, and the fucking city of Los Angeles is talking about, well, let's go on and let them be police officers. Then they're also saying in the city of Chicago, well, they can go ahead and buy firearms without a FOID card. You see what I mean? So something is very, very wrong here, people. And then when you get these ass scratches like your Eric Adams, Brandon Johnson's, London Bridges of San Francisco, Kamala Harris up there with the Biden regime. You see what I'm saying? They don't mean us no good either. It's because one thing about that cracker, to quote you there, Imam, is that he mastered that concept of divide and conquer. Will we have to have black family? Is a implosion. What is an implosion? It is the exact opposite of an explosion. Implosion is where you have scattered matter that all of a sudden will come together like in a split of a light, and which is the exact opposite of an explosion. And this is what we need throughout the whole diaspora. Now, also too, some of our scholars, such as Maya Angelou, I respect Maya Angelou, I respect Eartha Kitt, power be, you know, to their memories. But why are you sitting up here marrying white men? I mean, how in the hell are you going to sit up there and say that you are pro-black, but you want to go marry the oppressor? I don't get it. I yield for now.
Yeah, well, that's real black power, black truth.
We're
broken right now. Black power. Go ahead,
Alpha. Okay. I think there's two more mics out there. I think it's Kay DeWalt's mic is not on yet, and I was trying to turn it on to make sure it's working. Let me see what we got here. Oh, you know we got it, that's for sure. Let me see. Let me try to get Kay DeWalt to the mic, and then Black Lightning at the mic. Let's see if we've got Tater Walker, if he's live. Tater Walker, are you live in North Carolina?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Black power,
yes, sir.
Black power. Listen to the brother, and
okay.
I was listening to that brother, and the brother said one thing for sure. The black woman is the mother of civilization, and we must honor her. And big ups to the Million Woman International Movement. Black power to all sisters and brothers.
Black power, black power.
We must support our sisters in that movement. But I'm a reference off to the confession of Nat Turner. Nat Turner was a revolutionary thinker. Discovered the truth about God. And when he discovered the truth about God, he had a willingness to fight for the very people that looked like him. Because he knew that you had to be a real revolutionary to really back that call to love your people. Black love and unity is the plan. And we recruiting across the land in the Carolinas. We want brothers that love black people and have a willingness to fight for the right to be free, or be a free people, and love their people, respect their people, do right by their people. Don't judge our people because some
power
of our
to the people
don't
power
know.
To the people.
Some of our people don't really understand the effects that happen psychologically to our people. And when you go to the root and understand who you are as a people, you start to realize that we've been told a serious lie, a real serious lie, and that lie needs to be overturned and understood and understand who we are as a people. We are the holy people. We are those people that God put first, the original man. And when you get this revolutionary teaching and guidance, turn into a different understanding of who you must be and what you must do as a people. So black family, listen to me. The plan is black love and black unity. And we are together as one. Now we must make our nation one and continue on with the fight in this black love, black unity. Because a black nuclear family together, we can do anything. Black power.
Black power.
Is there
black
any
power.
Other kind?
Black power, black power. And we'll get knocked off to Brother DeWalt, who's holding the line in a place that we've had extreme difficulty in North Carolina and getting consistency. But I think that he is one that's going to bring all the fractions of North Carolina together because he has that kind of power and that kind of connect. And I know that he has a big, bold respect in Carolina, and we love him so much for going nationwide, what he does every day, but then on the strength that he holds the line for revolution. And he's always on to always enter this Black Power Radio, putting the word out and being where he has to be on time. And he's strongly supportive of the whole movement. And he never delays. Whenever we ask him any kind of task, he's right there. And we're proud of the work that Brother Tater Walker is doing. And we know he'll be in for the duration. He's not yet on the short step. He's in for the duration.
No, sir.
I want to bring
the light
of brother that's in the Washington
Black power. Brother in North
peace
Carolina.
Yes,
God loves peace and black power. For the brother that's in North Carolina, I got a brother that you could connect with by the name of Supreme Taylor. He's from Raleigh, North Carolina. He's also a sensei of the martial arts who also give awards every year for people in our community that is a pillar of our community, so to speak. But look up Supreme Taylor. He's from Raleigh, North Carolina. He's one of our samurai brothers. He's one of my samurai brothers. He's part of the Deadly Secret. That's the name of his organization, Deadly Secret. Look him up. Tell him Switchblade recommend you to connect with him. He will be on board, I promise you. Black power today.
Thank you. Black Power, sister. I appreciate that. And big ups to the sisters. We are here for you. We will be there for you. We will hold the line down for you. We are those ones for this time. We are the ones for this time right here. This very time in history, we are the ones. And we will back that call when called upon.
Power, we give props to hip-hop. We must give props to North Carolina. Our national minister of culture is also there. He has a tremendous amount of hits out. He's got one called We Don't Look Like What We've Been Through. He's got another one called We the People. He's got another one. He does the cigar commercials for all over the country and all up in Chicago and Eastern. He's originally from Chicago, but he gives the props to Charlotte, North Carolina. I had to get that shout out because he's done so much to keep us on board, to keep the momentum of him and our brother Dre out of the ATL. ATL Dre is, just an awesome brother that put a few more hits out for us on there. So the connects are being made, and I'm glad to just be a dot in the middle of the connect. And I will bring our brother out of the Washington region, brother 301-682, as brother Black Lightning is in the Washington Metropolitan area. Here's the viewers update. Black Power.
Black Power.
Let's see. I missed his mic. Let me make sure. One more time. His mic is open at 301 at 682. 301-682, you're live. Okay. So we'll go right back to the dialogue and keep it moving, keep it strong, keep it black by all means, keep it revolutionary. And we thank you all for allowing all the mics to get open, and y'all can go straight to your dialogue with Sister Queen Janae and our Doctor and Minister of Justice, Dr. Critical Race Truth Bay. Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. So we're here to discuss the marvelous event that's coming up in Washington, D.C., led by organizer Queen Janae Nzinga, who is orchestrating a Sankofa. Mm-hmm. Now, what is a Sankofa, first and foremost, family? A Sankofa literally means to go back and get. And what are we actually getting? We're getting the knowledge that our ancestors laid out, the blueprint on how to fight for revolution here on this soil. We spoke a little bit about Haiti and what they're going through as well as far as the first Black Free Republic. We have a duty to bring forth for our people an alternative to what is laid before us. So how are we going to do that? It's going back to where we came from. And notice to our ancestors as well, to pass the torch to our future generation. And I'm so glad to hear our youth minister, Brother Will, in Maryland, holding it down in Baltimore. There's a lot of cities, Democratic-ran cities, that are being ran to the ground and leaving really nothing for Black families to look forward to. So I look forward in supporting the Sankofa event. And we just heard from our first guest, Brother AJ from D.C. as well, that explained his portion as a guest speaker for the Sankofa event. Without further ado, Sister Janae on the line, we'd like to know if there is any other guest speakers or anyone that like to explain more about the Sankofa event coming up.
Is Brother Raheem Shabazz on the line? Brother Raheem there, I got to text him. See you on the other conference call. We've been multitasking over here, everybody. We've been on two conference calls and two meetings at the same time. We have to do so many things. But if you are coming, we're asking that you bring a donation for the children in Uganda. You can financially donate. Hit the donate button. We've already received $100 from the NFAC. Let's get them a shout out. Where your horn is, Sister Truth Bay?
Gotta set up our sound effects. It's coming.
Get your fire, your little horn, your little sound effects. So we did get a $100 donation on behalf of Grandmaster Jay and the NFAC family. They're coming. They made a donation. If you want to come, if you can't make it, but you, your foundation or organization can make a donation towards the children in Uganda, the, all donations will go towards the children in Uganda as well as helping me to get to Angola. So we're, if you can't physically bring anything, we do have Queen Mother Pamela Smith, who's pledged $150. Queen Empress Chi, she's pledged $150 for the Sankofa International Conference Outreach Program. So you do have that option on the event site. If you cannot make it, pay for somebody else to do it. Say anonymous. Buy somebody else a ticket, $20. You waste that on popcorn nowadays at the movie theater. $20 donation is all we asking for you to, for someone to attend this event that needs to be in this room. I've got a brother coming from New York, Brother I.J. Tiemba, who teaches African liberation. He's from the Harlem Liberation School that's trying to get here from New York City. I would love to have this brother in the room with Reverend A.J. Warmer and Queen Mother Empress Chi and Queen Mother Pamela Smith and those dignitaries from Africa so we can connect the dots. Everybody needs to be in this room that is doing something. We just heard from the phenomenal women. Oh, my God. Can you speak about that, Empress and Queen Mother? Look, what is your name? Truth Bang. Dr. Truth Bang. Look, we got so many meetings going on. I forgot which one I was on. But we just heard from the ladies at Harbor Heritage University, and I'm trying to tell you, yeah, we can go to school. We can get our doctorate degrees. Now, with a black accredited university, they are international. You can go to school from whatever country you live in and get your degree online. So please look up Harbor Heritage University and sign up with those sisters, Dr. Amina Ali, and her plight to get us free, truly get us freedom, because the things that hold us back are no longer excuses. Not having an education is no longer an excuse. Not when you can be debt-free and graduating with a doctorate's degree all at the same time. So black power to those sisters. We are, the sisters are definitely stepping up and stepping forward and have been. We just being placed in our rightful roles and leadership roles in this community because it's just time. It's time for us to resurrect queens. And you won't find no little dirty reds and 50, what's this, them children name now out there in this movement. These are queens, and we are resurrecting queens. With the Sankofa International Conference, we have invited queens. We're going to crown a queen. We're going to crown Queen Mother Pamela Smith as Queen Mother of the United States of America, Sankofa International Conference. She's going to receive her crown of glory. And it's so, like so many other women throughout the diaspora who've been raped and abused by the system of white supremacy. It's not the physical act that we are so disgusted by when it comes to our Queen Mother Pamela Smith. It is the system of white supremacy that is disgusting, the way that they, the lengths that they went to keep this woman's story from being told, but we're going to tell her story, and she's going to be here in Washington, D.C. to tell her story about business and justice, and I've never given up the fight. Thank you, ma'am. Aqua taught me one thing, and that was to never give up the fight for black people. We are here to capture the hearts and the minds of the people. It's not about us. It's about the people. All power is to the people. All right. Thank you.
Right. Absolutely.
Now, Sister Nzinga, if you can, you did mention that you'll be honored in Angola. Can you tell us a little bit about that procedure and
yes,
what's going to happen there?
That part. That's the most important part about Most I get so caught up in bringing people together, I don't even think about my invitation to Angola. It's the basis of the fundraising efforts, and the donations are so needed because I've been invited to go to Africa, to Angola in July, to Queen Nzinga's land, y'all. They want me to come to Luanda, Angola, to receive the ambassadorship for Queen Nzinga. And this is the honor. I've never traveled outside of Mexico. That's the only other country I've ever been to. So this will be my first time on the continent, be my first time traveling abroad and just going home. I'm looking at it like spiritually, I'm already there. I've already been there. I know when I do actually physically go, it's going to be so familiar to me because I'm dreaming about it. I'm dreaming about what it smells like. I'm dreaming about what the wind and the sun feels like on my skin. And I'm just excited to even have this opportunity to be going to Angola for the first time, which may be of many times because I've been invited to go to Ghana as well as Zimbabwe and Zambia, Nigeria. I've getting all kind of invitations to come and represent the United States and the people of the diaspora because we've been told for so many years that Africans had no interest in American black people and indigenous people, but that's not true. That's not the truth. That's not the truth. And I'm here to dispel that myth. I'm here to be a witness of that because everyone has welcomed me in. These people are my friends. These people have sent me things. They have asked for my help, and I've given it, and I've asked for their help, and they're giving it. And we're traveling, and we're sankofaing with one another. So it won't be a stranger in the room when you leave. That's my goal. Come expecting greatness, African liberation, harmony, peace, freedom and justice, freedom of death. We ain't trying to die, though. So don't come in with no drama, okay? We got security.
Come on, drama-free.
So tight. Like, I'm not even going to tell you the location. It's going to be so tight that you won't be able to poop in this room. And I say that with all due respect for the airways. You won't be able to fart in this room without somebody asking you if you are all right. And if you need help, or we need to get you up out of that. Because you won't be allowed to interfere with this one. The last year, I'm going to tell y'all why my security is so tight. Even up to the following days before we go into this building, security will be on post and outside of this building. Because last year, they set the building on fire. Literally tried to destroy a whole block. Because we were hosting the Sankofa Conference in Southeast Washington, D.C. at the Art Center. And the day that Alpha arrived and I took him to see the venue, the building was still smoldering and on fire.
Wow.
It was electrical fire. And at that moment, I felt so horrible. And I'm telling you this because it's the truth and it happened. Because I was like, this is my fault. This is my fault. I should have never done this. I don't want to do this. You know, I caused people damage. But then after, you know, everything sunk in and we were still able to host our event, we just had to go downstairs. And it was even more intimate. The message got across. We had a great time. We had the children from DC Divas Dance Squad came and dance for us. We didn't invite them back this year because this year is going to be a little different for the adults. Children are welcome to come, but it's going to be more of an interactive Sankofa event this time. So we're not going to just be sitting in our seat listening to somebody talk. We're going to actually be interacting with each other. We have vendors that are coming. We have a fashion show. And we're gonna have fun. We're gonna play games. We're gonna be more like a family reunion without a funeral, okay? it's too many times we don't see each other until we honoring them as our ancestor. But we pay honor, we're honoring our living history makers. Like the brother said, history is black history being made every day. Shaky Ma'am Akbar and I have been a part of black history for the last 7 years almost. If every year, every event we go to, we're making black history. But it's not being recorded. It's not being broadcast and put down in the history books. It's deliberately being ignored and deterred from making black history. They only want you to believe in the certain people, not those radicals. Don't talk about them. Don't talk about the people that are putting boots on the ground for real every day out here in this country. Yeah. So that's why we are going to Sankofa and honor them for the work that they have done throughout the diaspora and throughout their travels around this country. And we do know, and even the Africans know, Alpha said it yesterday, we already know that people were in America before they was in Africa. That we were all one continent at one point in time. They understand that. Why don't we get it? If we the indigenous people, why aren't we leading like we are the indigenous people of this planet? Why are we still at the bottom? Well, who is keeping the information from us that's keeping us from rising? So if you want to cast that ghost spell out the window and listen to Reverend A.J. Vollmer, who just told you, what did Jesus say? Peace be unto you. What do we say when we say As-salamu alaykum? Peace be unto you. So Jesus was a Muslim. He practiced Islam before he was a Christian. And people don't get that part. They don't want you to know that it's all one universal God. There's only one. Only one. Whatever name you come to call him, it is your belief. And when you understand your belief behind what is factual, I believe in God. I believe in the universal God. I believe in Allah. I believe in him. I trust him. I know that he is my way, my truth, and my light. And by many names he's called. But there is only one universal God that looks up so high he can see all of us no matter what we call him by. He knows what we are. He knows who we are. He knows what's in our hearts. So when he weighs my heart against that feather, I just hope that it's balanced. I hope that I'm doing the right thing for my people. And that's all that I could hope for. I hope that I reach somebody with this Sankofa International Conference that gets it, that truly gets it and truly can see what it took me 46 years to see. 46 this year. I'll be 46 on April the 28th if I make it, inshallah. You know, but it took me a long time to just get it and connect the dots. And be careful when you're entertaining strangers because you're among angels. I know I've walked right with the angels. I know I've entertained angels in my life. I've helped the least of them. I did it not for the recognition. I did it because I love my people. And I just want us to love each other. We are here to learn how to love. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. And we want to love you. We want to share with you. We want to Sankofa with you. Let's go back to our first love. Black people's survival depended on loving each other. They try to separate us with this European mindset. They separated us with COVID. They killed off all these old people. Most of them old people, the older people that passed away was from loneliness. They were isolated for over a year, and they died alone and afraid and not around their families. So just think about that. Think about what's been done to us. That's what Akbar used to tell me. This white man is the devil. They separated us from our children at birth. Mm-hmm. They separated us from our families. And that even in our death, they want us to die alone and be separated from the love of God and from the love of each other. And we're not going to keep just sitting here letting these people do this to us. We love each other. That's why the Black Wall Street was successful, because they told us we just loved each other. We supported each other. The black people were doing better than anybody else in those cities. They only capitalizing off of how bad black people are doing right now, how poor we are, how much we want to be like them with their 20 years of generational wealth. The wealth gap we learned in class the other day, $200,000 to $8. That's the difference in the generational wealth gap between black people and white people in this country. They have a $200,000 start on your $8 return. How can you compete with that if you don't build something for yourself and for your people? What can you do with your $8? Okay? So just think about that. The black dollar don't last 30 minutes in our community. It goes straight out to somebody else's community. I once heard the pastor say, where do these people live? Do they live in your neighborhood? These foreign people that have businesses in your neighborhood, where they live at? Have you ever thought about that? They work in your neighborhood. They feed you this trash, garbage Chinese food that they don't even eat, clogging your arteries up. You walking around with your knees and your belly hanging over your family. Where do they eat and where do they live? They don't live with you. You don't even see them in your neighborhoods unless they working. So what are we doing? What are we doing, people? So I got the right people in the room. I would love for you all to be my guests at the Sankofa International Conference. If you miss this one, you can go come back next year. We're going to do this every year. So don't feel bad. But please try to make it this year. This is the year that it counts. This now is the time to seize the time. Seriously, seize the time today. And I'm going to land my plane. Any questions? Unmute your mic. We on Black Power Radio. Let's go, Sister Truth.
I got it. Hello, questions. Peace and Black Power, brothers and sisters. This is Switchblade once again, having questions for this segment. I love the beautiful thing that you're doing, Sister Danae, with raising funds for our children that's in Uganda and everything. I just have a question. Is any other African country raising money for the black children that's here in America? That's my question.
That's a good question. Well, the answer to that is we have yet to find out. Our African nations, period, have to have some sort of consensus when it comes to black issues, specifically for those of us in America. But there are some talks with some nations and some organizations in the U.S. that are trying to bridge the gap of that particular issue. As we have mentioned before, there have been many divisions over the years that's trying to segregate our motherland from those of us that are here in America. And it is up to us to decipher and organize with those nations that want to bridge the gap. Because we are a large number of people, we have 47 million alone of black Americans on this soil. And many of us are divided on this soil. So one may say, no, this is what we need, even when it comes to reparations, which is a perfect example of how payments should be distributed. $5 million in land. Then you have some people want monthly payments of $227,000 a month. Some even want less. So there is always going to be some sort of difference when it comes to how we need to interact. But on the global scale, one of the main things that we ought to find out come this October in D.C. With the Million Women World Movement is to have a solid plan of action between both nations, the ones of African Americans here
And I hate using that term, but hey, you're using something that can easily describe what we've been portrayed as. And with the motherland, there have been so many atrocities happening in Africa, as you just mentioned, in the Congo and Sudan, where the women are constantly being raped, as well as the problems here with black women who are disappearing in America, and there's no justice for them. So those are the things that we need to actually have continued conversations, continued meetings, and we need to keep each other abreast of what's happening. It is very important, Sister Switchblade, that we communicate on all fronts on a daily, sometimes weekly, but on a daily level for us to say, well, this group is having a meeting here. Let's join it, see what they're talking about, see how we can grow, bridge the gap. That's the only consistency that's going to give us success in the end. But again, nothing is made overnight, especially when it comes to alternatives for blacks. We have to literally start from the ground up and start building and expanding. But each of us in the cities, which is why it's very important to build the civic engagement portion with the youth in your area. Because, again, a lot of these things cannot transpire without a solid foundation. And that includes strong institutions. That includes banks, increase of black businesses, funding for social programs, specifically that small mom-and-pop agencies are doing in their community. One of the things that we can't neglect is all the options of funding that is out there. When we, each of us, you know, support each other, there is a huge bag that's sitting there that's not being touched because the oppressors don't think where we're going after that. So we can't limit ourselves, nickel and dime ourselves, and expect to succeed when we need a magnanimous effort with funding and organizing. But for free, we can always start with what is given in front of us, which is what God-given mind to collaborate and really solidify a plan of action moving forward. So there really is no one short answer to state, well, what exactly are the African nations supporting? That is what we need to know on a collective. So I do agree. But time is our best friend. It's our greatest healer. It is our guide. It tells us what's really going on out there. If you're doing the groundwork that needs to be done, those who haven't joined whatever movement that you're in your neighborhood, you need to start like yesterday. So if you know you have a couple of activists or groups or people that you know in your community that are doing the work, it is imperative that you join them, that you support them, that you introduce them to other like minds. And that's the beauty of what's been happening with the Million Women World Movement starting this year, is that even though it started in 1997, there has been a huge gap of nothing for the last 30 years in terms of collaborating with these wonderful black women-led organizations. And the same goes for our black men and then our black youth. But particularly, we want to highlight the neglect that has caused upon black women. And it is our duty to bring everyone together with like minds. We just have a different way of operating. And so it really does take a village, and that's what we have yet to come the end of this year. Now, after October in D.C., the last week of October, after the Million Women World Movement, in between time, what we're creating right now are committees, and these committees vary to cover everything in every aspect. So there's a portion for those who want to focus on conscious fashion, just like the sneaker that I believe there's a partnership with a company called Negus, and it is embroidery of our ancestors on these sneakers that will put Nike to shame. And so those are the things that are behind the scenes. And right now we're gathering people so they can fulfill these committees. So when we do come together in October that will have all of these things in place. And one of my support or efforts that I'm bringing into the Million Women World Movement is the policy and legislation portion, because it's imperative that we need to be in these spaces to know what laws that we need. To this day, as you know, we don't have an anti-Black hate crime bill. That's all due to the fact of our lack of unification, our lack of demanding from these politicians that has been taking our ancestors' taxes, including our own to this day, for their own purpose. So it does take a mobilization of us to do something differently than we have, that we're comfortable in doing year after year, is really putting yourself in a different perspective. Racism and discrimination and the way they have treated us has always been in an uncomfortable situation. But because it has happened for so long that it internalized within us, and sometimes we act upon it. And, you know, the Willie Lynch and the slave syndrome is something that if you don't recognize it for what it is, it will always consume and divide us. So the best thing to do is to, in your own talent, know what you're good and capable of doing and expand on it. And then from there, God is going to send the right people to you, because now you have a foundation that you laid in your area, specifically in Chicago, as we've seen the migrant situation is ridiculous. New York and L.A. is just the same. But these are some of the things that you continue to do the work that you're doing there, and eventually it'll all come together. What we are looking for is a solid relationship with Africa, with our motherland, and so that way they can have clarification on this is exactly what we as descendants of slaves, to say returning home, as Sister Janae is doing in Angola, is to trace your lineage. Find out what area in Africa you're native of. Expand on it, study on it, and then reach out to that motherland, particularly in real time. And then while you're doing that individually, there is going to come a time that we have to come together and share our experiences and build on it. And that really is the only way that we can see a change specifically for our Black people. There are many young people in these areas, especially me, I'm from South LA originally, and a lot of our Black youth that are not exposed to certain things in other neighborhoods, they sometimes never leave their neighborhood. They don't know what it's like outside of their hood, so to speak. So we can't expect them by the time they're 18 and young adults that they'll have a different frame of mind. That's almost impossible, but that's what we have. So we have to really embrace how we can come together to take our children out, even if it's for a few months, to go to a field trip outside of their state. So when they return, they come back with new ideas, with fresh ideas. And that really is how we can grow on that. Black power?
Black power, black power.
Black power. Black power. I just wanted to add to that. Can I add to that right
quick?
Yes, ma'am. Well, Switchblade, I know you haven't been in, you've been in the movement as long as I have, but some of the conferences that I went to when we were speaking on reparations and things like that, Africa already know they owe us reparations. They already have land set aside for us. We just got to go get it. And that's one thing I do know for sure, and it's a fact, that other countries in Africa, they have agreed to pay us reparations. It is the United States that refuses to acknowledge that there are reparations owed to the Africans in America that are indigenous to this country that they have stolen from. So it's all about what we going to do to demand our reparations at this point, because they owe it to us. But are we going to sign up? Are we going to do? Are we going to show up, pretty much? Because this Sankofa conference,
the people that are going to be in this room are going to be able to show you the land and with the diamonds and the gold on it. They're going to be able to show you where you can come and stay and build and trade and market. You understand? That's what this is the
great,
right room
great.
To
I have in. I have a question for that. I have a question for that. This is Pitch Blade again. Okay, so let's just say, hypothetically speaking, that I get a passport to one of those countries that you say is offering us the land. Do I need extra funding, or do I come with just my passport like other people from our from the African diaspora come to our country without a dime and get all the benefits that we fall for them to make sure that they were straight? My point is that a fair exchange is no robbery. As far as I have studied and learned is that us Black Americans, us African Americans, have always reached out to help our people from the diaspora. But when it comes for us to go over there and try to exchange the same energy or receive the same energy that we have given when they came to this land, it's not reciprocated. And there are plenty
of
stories.
Well, that's why you got to get in this room, baby, because I promise you, if you get in this room with me, I promise you, if you get in this room with me, your whole attitude about the what's not being shared will be different.
Am I going to be able to get free food, free education, free housing? I'm
going to be able to get everything you need taken care of. I promise you. We have a repatriation program that I've been sitting on for the longest that I was a part of. We have a sister, Yaa Asantewe in Ghana. She has a repatriation program that she was trying to initiate before the pandemic. This is all stuff that I was doing in 2018-19. Before the pandemic came, we were going to send people to Africa for nothing. We had a whole program set up, everything like that. Now, things have changed, but I do know a sister in Ghana that can help you get a house built and everything else that you need to go over there, but you got to be willing to put in the work that it takes in order and
now,
have something.
Now, when you say put in the work, what do you mean by that? Because if I was to advertise that to my brothers and sisters here in the shop.
Mm-hmm. Right. Following through with the steps, doing what you got to do. It's a program that she had developed. And now she's living in Ghana. She's even helping a lot of other people go to Ghana and buy land and houses and repatriating and really moving back to Africa and things like that. So I got those type of people on standby, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, she's not going to be here per se, but I do have those people that we can get in contact with that can explain to you what it's going to take for us to get you to the motherland. So it's
for
like
free.
I said, this was stuff
for free.
That's
my favorite word, free. For free.
Yeah. But see, listen, what you don't know is even if you are on food stamps or welfare or anything like that, your passport is discounted. There's a discount passport form that you can fill out. Your children can get free passports if you're on food stamps. That was something I just learned maybe a couple weeks ago.
I didn't even know about that. So, hey.
Okay, so look into the waiver program. There's a waiver program that you could get on to get a passport for yourself and your children if you are underprivileged or, you know, if you're on social welfare or
okay,
something
my next
like
question.
That.
My next question mm-hmm. is, even after we get there, are we permanent citizens, or could we go back to our mainland where we come from?
You can get dual citizenship. You can repatriate, and you can get dual citizenship. Some of us in the New Black Panther Party already have dual citizenship. Akwa was trying to tell me about it years ago, but I forgot.
but and I never did follow through with it. That's the problem with us is we don't follow through. That's what I'm saying. If you do the program, I get all the stuff set up, you got to do your part as well in order to get to the land and get to the promise. You know, like this didn't just happen overnight for me. This has been years of planning and grooming and listening and being a part of different things in order to even get close to these people to find out this information. We've had gatekeepers that did do this stuff years ago. They probably could have been got us all out of this land and into Africa and into our own stuff, but they won't tell you everything because then they're going to have to charge you for it. And that's the blessing about being who I am, is I ain't charging you for the information. I'm giving it to you freely. I'm giving it to you willingly. I want my people free. It's time for us to let Pharaoh go. Pharaoh ain't holding us. We holding
Thank
on
you.
To Pharaoh at this point.
Tell him again.
Okay.
They can't hear you.
I said we are holding on to Pharaoh at this point. We holding on to these white people and to this Europeanized oppression. I ain't going to Africa. It's hot over there. How many niggas you done heard say that? And I can say that honestly.
Too many.
Every time I say it, even my own children, it's hot over there.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? This
yeah.
is the ignorant shit that we say. It's hot over there. I'm not going to Africa. Well, you don't want what's promised to you. You don't want the land that you can own and cultivate and grow whatever the hell you want to grow on it. You know, Mr. Waker,
right.
I started this with the Waker Foundation, okay, the Sankofa International Conference came from the Waker Foundation. Mr. Waker been to Africa several times. This is my godfather. He went over there and he did the work. All you got to do is show up, and we couldn't even get people to show up. You understand what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? He is certified in over 35 different areas, from mechanics to nursing.
So
okay.
Yeah, I can understand certain black folks not wanting to leave this country because
right.
this is where our ancestors built it at. But I also understand the spiritual journey of traveling back to our motherland and connecting with our brothers and sisters there. But unfortunately,
yeah.
that's the thing. There is no country or nowhere in this world that is not a white supremacist system that is added on to the country that we are going to. And that's the thing that I feel like all of us, wherever you come from who is black, needs to fight first is the open enemy, which is the white supremacist system. And
mm-hmm.
Ghana
mm-hmm.
is one of the countries that is under the white supremacist system, regardless of their own government. And that is the reality
right.
that we
That's
have.
That's where many of us
it
came from, was from Ghana. The majority of the slave trade came
yes.
from that area, primarily Igbo.
Yes.
And I wanted to...
Angola. Yeah, they
yeah.
came from
wanted
Angola.
To elaborate
the
a little bit.
The Congo. Yes.
So you did mention...
So,
are they not, including Ghana? Isn't Ghana colonized?
Repeat that again,
sweetheart.
I'm sorry, say that one more time, sweetheart. You're breaking up.
Is Ghana colonized by the European
mm-hmm.
domination? Okay, so it really didn't make a difference, does it, though? Because regardless of where we're going around the world, it is still dominated by the European system.
Yeah, but for now, though, for now, until we, you know, mobilization is the key. It's not for us to know this and to sit idle. It is that's why there are things that are taking place right now behind the scenes in order for us to happen. Like you said, you have to be at the right table, which you are. You know, Sister Janae and I, National Chairman Shaky Monk, a lot of us, Brother DeWalt, New World, a lot of us are connected to a greater scope, and that's one of the things that we say to come to the Million Woman World Movement. Text me your contact information, because I think you changed your number or something, but your email and your contact number, and I will keep
yes.
you abreast on the upcoming meeting that you can be a part of, so that way when you sit at the table, you can know exactly what area, who to work with at this table of many leaders that have come separately and now coming together. For example, Dr. Amin Ali, who we call the mother of United Nations. She's based out in New York, and being there at the Commission of the Status of Women, she has a whole university system, Harvard Heritage University, and we hope to have her on Black Power Radio coming up next month. But this is a whole system where you can get your doctor's degree. It's the first human rights and gender doctorate that you can do humanitarian work with an official doctor's degree. And there's sponsorships for that as well. So those are one of many options, especially for the work that you do, that will support with efforts to do that. So I just want to briefly put out there, there are a dozen African countries that do have dual citizenship. So I have a list here. I'm going to quickly read it. It's not more than probably 15 or 16 countries, but some of them are the Gambia, Kenya, Zimbabwe, South Africa, Ghana, Gabon, Guinea-Bissau, Angola, Algeria, Cape Verde, South Sudan, Tunisia, Zambia, Nigeria, Rwanda, Senegal, and Cameroon. So those are the nations that have been offering dual citizenship for African Americans. And some celebrities actually got their dual citizenship too, which I didn't realize until after we did that research. So, for example, you have Idris Elba. He is actually a dual citizen of Tanzania. You have Samuel Jackson, who has his dual citizenship in Gabon. Then you have Dave Chappelle, who has a dual citizenship in Ghana. And then you also have Tiffany Haddish, who actually was married to Eritrea, so she has a dual citizenship in Eritrea. So the process is there, and we're going to get to it. Black Power.
Black Power. Yeah, many nations have their doors open to us, especially in Tanzania and South Africa, and Zimbabwe has a door open for us. That has been lucrative by many of us. But Tanzania and South Africa, especially because the kinship, the massacre in Tanzania is akin to the massacre in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We have a chairman. We have a chapter that's part of this leadership. Alfred Sensei is a part of this leadership, and he is in Sierra Leone. He's in another country right now. He had to go in exile because of certain situations that were going on in Sierra Leone. But he's a doer, and he has gone out to propagate in Gambia and recruited a lot of our brothers, different parts of Kenya. There are other nations with the doors open. There's one door open in Ghana, that the door of on the Gori Island, and the doors of no return, or the door of no return. Some of the historians have gotten together and made it the door of return. Now, there are many who have talked to me saying that they feel that it's a partial setup, in a sense, that some of those people have, I don't know, not maybe sold out, but they're not dedicated to the Black Revolution. So in many of these circumstances, don't go to Africa looking for ready-made Black revolutionaries, because they will not be there to receive you in warm arms. But there are many freedom fighters on the ground, that the same snake, the same reptilian that bit you in Atlanta, Birmingham, New York, New York, in Oakland, from San Diego to Brooklyn, from Miami all the way up to Augusta, Maine, Chicago to Houston, crisscross America another way from El Paso all the way to Philadelphia. The same reptilian biting you here is the same reptilian that they bit Africa long before they landed over here.
Sure,
and they sucked the blood from Africa. They sucked the natural resources from Africa. They sucked the mineral resources.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, they're going to set you up, take what you have. Oh, my, my. When they come back next time, they're coming back to kill you. And
yeah,
you have been a target of their exploits for 500 years or better. And now you must break the cycle. We are the symbolical break in the cycle and the traditions of new productivity, the escape from non-preparedness and non-productivity into productivity, breaking the traditions, leaving them hanging in the midst of their strange and peculiar iniquity. Strange sort of fellas, these these Euros, or some call them Mediterraneans. Some call them Neanderthalic. Some call them Paleolithic savages. Nevertheless, they're just not quite the human being we have found the Melanations nations to be. So I land my plane upon that. I don't know if this brother's mic is broke or not working, but I wanted to test the mic to see if this brother is alive and well. Because, of course, you haven't heard from him tonight, and there's something going on with his mic, perhaps. We got the tech piece fixed. He's supposed to have a guest over there somewhere in the atmosphere by way of Mid-Atlantic in D.C., 301-682. Are you live?
Black Power.
And well, are you?
Black Power.
Okay, Black Power. Yeah.
Black Power. Black Power. What's up? What's up? What's up? Yeah, we live in the living Black Power. Absolutely. What up? Everybody
Black
out
Power.
There. Black Power, Katie Wall, Black Power, New World Warrior, Black Power, Sister Nzinga, General Nzinga, and everybody else out there. Wanted to say that I've noticed something. I just notice things sometimes. And I noticed that people say, well, that was me then. Well, hell, that was me then and still me now. just a little older, a little wiser. I don't do the same old mistakes. But we all was born with these talents. You know? We was born with these talents. So it's like, it's like if someone say, oh, I know you. They say, well, it all depends on when you met me. You know? Say, when you met me, was I a black revolutionary or was I getting transfers off the back of the bus? You know? Was I holding the line, or was I, busting the line, basically, you know, saying, hey, I'm moving to the front, you know, I ain't got time to be standing in the back. So we all evolve is what I'm saying, you know, but we still got our little hidden talents, you know. You say, okay, when we have our events and stuff like that, we ain't got to worry about no disturbances, because most of us was the ones that make the disturbances, so we're not gonna let that happen, you know, not around us, not on our post, and we know what to look for too. We know what to look for. We're not looking for the guy who's panhandling out in front. He's a little bit of a nuisance, but hey, that's not even my concern. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, I'll be the first one to walk over and give him a couple of dollars, you know? So I'm saying we the people. It's like, I feel like the Willie Lynch letter could have just been given directly to us. I'm wondering if one of us wrote it. You know what I mean? Because it's like, man, come on now. We really gonna turn down a black man because of his religion or because of the way he thinks? No, I'm not, you know. As far as I'm concerned, how dare they ask us to prove our lineage, the fact that we black and in America? That's proof right there. I want my reparations. I mean, some of us, like myself, I was listed all the way back to my great-great-great-great-grandfather, Philip, who was a slave, you know. But should we have to have that information? I don't think so. As far as knowing who we are, you know, we know who we are, you know. You say, well, see old Fred over there, he's fighting for the revolution. You know why? Because Fred been a fighter all his life. He's going to find a reason to get on your ass one way or the other anyway. So isn't it good that old Fred is fighting for the revolution now instead of having a couple of drinks telling him that he's going to fight the first person to get out of line with him that day, you know, or down on Good Hope and Pennsylvania Avenue down there until the liquor store closed, you know, with some of the real outlaws hanging out with me, and they be the ones that walk me home and rob you. So what I'm saying is now them same ones are holding the line, you know, and we know who to look, we know where to look, you know, but it's hard to get
real revolutionaries to the line sometime, you know, because we are just looking for one thing, and that's one thing is appreciation. So I appreciate all. Oh, a shout out to my my youth captain, one of my youth captains today. Gave him a little elevation, you know. He's been holding line with me, learning all this combat training and everything, you know, real discipline. Two of them, actually. I didn't have a shirt for one, but I got a shirt for the other. So they will be, hopefully, if we can get down, as long as we can get our way in, you know. Because it's like this. You go get them badasses when the shit hit the fan. Don't wait till the shit hit the fan. Come get the badasses now. We'll make sure that the shit don't hit the fan. So Black Power, appreciate all they are. And peace and love. Black Power.
Peace and love and Black Power. And we thank our beloved brother, Black Lightning, for bringing those words to us. And we're going black to our host, that got everybody on here tonight. Our big brother, Big Warriors there, Black Switchblade. We got Shabakas in the house, and there's, I think some, I don't want to say numerous, but there are others and other brothers and sisters. So we hope you'll continue to hold the line for Black Power Radio, and we can get our groove on Black Power. Black Power.
Jay, Black Power.
Black Power.
Power.
May I also add on to what Brother Black Lightning said, because he hit a few key points that I just wanted to add when he said about reparations and lineage and everything and why the government have to ask that, where our lineage comes from. The reason why it's so important about our lineage of us building up this country is because the other black people that came from the diaspora came here by choice. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. That's the cross.
Yeah.
You came over here knowing that this government oppressed people that look like you, who suffered the same oppression as you. So therefore, when you do come over here knowing that, as well as carrying on the same white supremacy mentality, it makes us look at our brothers and sisters from the diaspora are different, especially with the name calling like the Yankees and Akatas and Generos and everything. But we understand that that does not represent the majority of the people that is there and that is still fighting the white supremacist system. But we also have to realize that they are still suffering the same oppression as we. It's just they have probably been over there longer. They're still fighting it just like we are over here in the States. The difference is we didn't only fight for us. We fought for everybody who was oppressed around the world to come here and make a better life. We cannot say that, unfortunately, for our brothers and sisters from the diaspora. And that's where the problem is. That's where the problem lies. We need our brothers and sisters from the diaspora to step up their game just like we did over here. And we're the minorities over here in the States. So I'm ready to have those uncomfortable conversations. I am so ready to have those. We need to point out the obvious and stop ignoring the elephant in the room. That's
correct.
My point.
I agree with you.
And
I agree with you,
Holden.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am, and thank you for making that point. Reparations here, the conversation that has been started since 2021 with AB 3121 in California that passed the first reparations bill, commission for a bill, it specifically states that it's lineage-based reparations. That means the reparations that will eventually come down to those who suffered a specific issues from 1619 to about 1849, 1850, around the time that slavery is supposed to have ended. So with that cause, or with that clause in the forefront, it automatically eliminates the one who came here by choice, especially those who are first, second generation. If they haven't suffered through chattel slavery, That is what the reparations dialogue, conversations, commissions that are being built nationwide, that is the underlining clause, is that it's lineage-based, based on chattel slavery from a specific era on this soil. So thank you for bringing that up, because we have to remind or repeat this particular clause, because that alone, you know, if people don't know the whole in depth of reparations, they would think, yeah, because you're black or you're here in this country, that you qualify for the reparations that we're talking about. And that is completely the opposite. So wanted to clarify that and for those who may have the same questions as well. Black Power?
Black Power.
Black Power.
New Black World Power. Here. Got a couple of things I'd like to share if you don't mind.
Yes, sir. Floor is yours.
Okay. Black Lightning is on to something. He said we got detractors and haters. Black Lightning, be encouraged by that, brother. Consider that job security of about 17 lifetimes. We don't fear nothing because the Creator and the ancestors are on our side. We're going to do the damn thing like the damn thing ain't never been done before, and I guarantee you if we wake up tomorrow, damn it, we're going to do it some more. This is how we're going to do this. It's our time. We must just wake up and shine. We are the light. We are the light. This is our purpose, and this is what we're going to do. It's our time. So we're going to stand up, or we're going to show up, show out, and in the words of Black Panther, show them who we are. It is our time, literally. Let's shine, family. Let's shine. Hold up, family.
Hold up.
Yes, ma'am. Black power. As if there's any other
kind. And we should always remain focused and be mindful of still there's a big negotiation we have to do within the people on the ground concerning Haiti. The people on the ground, that there are people in certain forms of enslavement on the continent of Africa at this hour. And there's still too much sex trafficking, too much enslavement and sex slaves and pedophiles and degeneracy. Got too much power. We have to take that power from a vicious enemy of ours. So I'm Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad says somebody got to hold the line for divine black revolution. Black power?
They say
black power.
Gotta hold that line.
And also the same person who lied to the Africans lied to us. Divide and conquer is global white supremacy's best trick. Don't fall for it no more. We are one. At the end of each and every day, be it good, bad, or otherwise, we all we got. Ain't nobody coming, but we're here, aren't we?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
So
let's do this.
Yeah, yes, sir.
So coming up this Thursday, March 28th, we do have our weekly DC Rep RNA meeting, town hall at 7:30 Eastern time. If you'd like to join or get the link or be part of it, you can call text to 323-884-8583, or you can reach 202-550-8521. Text Town Hall to either of these numbers, and then we'll send you a link. And this is the time where you come in, and things that we have discussed on Black Power Radio, as well as other platforms on strategy to set a free self-determination, has always been the topic. We have various guests that come on as well, some that actually even have political campaigns we have supported in the past. And so anyone that knows of someone that has a worthy cause or has an organization or is doing work in a community that needs to be highlighted, it is imperative that you come to our weekly town hall. And so, again, if you want to join us this Thursday, March 28th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can join and call 323-884-8583 or 202-550-8521, and bring a friend. Right now it's about building every week, and we don't want our people to be left without a table of planning. And so this is where we want to offer you many and more on this platform. So thank you for tuning in on Black Power Radio. We're here every Sunday and Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, discussing issues affecting the Black community. And so that being said, Sister Janae, do we have any more guests to speak upon Sankofa event that's coming up April 6th in Washington, D.C.? Do we have General Nzinga still on the line with us? All right. So we're rounding off. Yes. National Chairman, you want to chime in, or shall we continue?
I mean, there's a revolution in all of this thing. I said, now the time to continue. Let me look on here and see if anybody's mic is not up. I think everybody's on. I think Sabaka is back.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here. Okay, so, yeah, definitely very, very informative show tonight here, as always. Definitely check out Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced tomorrow night, okay, which will be 6 p.m. here in the Pacific, 9 p.m. in the Eastern Time Zone. The number to call in is 516-418-5996. And also, too, I just got information here across my desk off of mainstream media is that Sean's Puffy Combs houses are being raided in Florida and Los Angeles. So over here at Frontline Black News, we're going to check that out to see what's going on there with P. Diddy. And then, of course, we all know we wouldn't be surprised if anything out of the ordinary is because Los Angeles is what it is, and I'm sure Dr. Bay would agree with me on that one. Okay, and so what we are going to be go ahead.
No, I'm just agreeing with you. Holly Weird is getting raided every day. I think we have been over the moon with P. Diddy and the scumbags of Holly Weird.
Oh, yes, ma'am. And Dr. Bay, as you know, being from the cesspool called Los Angeles, California, that I had visited yesterday to see family members, it is what it is, you know what I mean? And not to mention all the Black talent, you know, that has been stolen there from our people since Hollywood's inception. So definitely Black Power, you know, to everyone, have a magnificent evening. So definitely get with us on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced tomorrow, okay, which is 516-418-5996. And you could Google the episode of the subject matters because our co-executive producer, the one and only Trey Nkrumah, had wrote it up. Okay, so I'll see everybody tomorrow night. Keep up the great work. Stay Black, stay proud. You know, like the referee says, protect yourself at all times on the physical plane, the spiritual plane, and definitely, of course, the mental plane. Check out the hashtag and the Facebook as well, too, by the same name called Resurrection of the Mental Dead. Okay, so this is Shabaka Sankofa signing off from Sin City tonight. See you all tomorrow night.
Black power.
Always.
Black power. Black to power. You.
Always.
All right, so
always.
We want to remind our Black family that we are currently taking letters or birthday cards for Mumia Abdul-Jamal, whose birthday is coming up next month. As we have explained before, our comrade political prisoner for over four decades have been suffering in solitary confinement even to this day. And so we are demanding or requesting that the public, that we show solidarity in honoring and reminding Mumia that he is loved and appreciated. And so if you want to know more about how to send your birthday gift, or if you want to write him a letter, you could definitely listen in on next week's Black Power Radio. We'll have the details specifically on where, who, and what to write. But in the meantime, we want you to keep Mumia as well as other political prisoners that are sitting there rotting, medical neglect beyond compare. The incarceration system, family, it is a behemoth. It is actually the first place that they utilize after slavery is so-called ended. The incarceration system is the new Jim Crow, where many of black families are suffering. Many are facing lifetime sentences for menial crimes, some not even accused. Some are just because of the South. They create their own laws that you got a lot of innocent people that are behind the wall without merit. And so this is a constant outrage. We must consistently be the voice for our people behind the wall and change the justice system. This is one of the reasons why I focus on policy legislation and the judicial system. When you look at majority of these cities, they are democratically ran, and even some of the Republican ran. Majority of the court system are all white. They are all white. And so when you don't enter into accountability for a lot of these voting methods, a lot of the court judges that are elected without research, I mean, again, it's into a system that has never worked for us. So you ask yourself, even individually, what am I doing right now to change the status quo for my black family in these spaces? And so, again, attending city council is one way, but knowing your court system as well, who runs your local court system, find out the people that the premier judges of these court systems. It's always important for us to know the names of our oppressors, because they all have to wake up like we do and put their pants one leg at a time. Some of them shower, some of them don't, but that's, I digress. The point is they are not above us by any means. So we must utilize our authority, our intelligence, and most importantly, our wisdom, our God-given wisdom to maneuver this system in order for us to come up on top. I want to also give a little shout-out to Queen Mother Beverly Reese, who hasn't been on for a while, but we're sending our prayers and our love with her. Queen Mother Beverly Reese, she came into the picture as an advocate. Her son, Lavelle Lane, who was 29 years old, was killed in Spartanburg Detention Center on October 5th, 2023. And so coming up on the almost one-year anniversary in October, there's still no justice. Right now, there have been a subpoena served on the Sheriff of Death, who we like to call Chuck Wrongright, Spartanburg Detention Sheriff, who has zero accountability. When you say of a bold-faced liar that will tell you to your face, we're going to find justice for your family, or we're going to do what we can, and I assure you, if any of our officers or sheriff committed any wrongdoing, they'll be held accountable. These are the things that this punk paleface told us straight up when we came to South Carolina, and he refused to come down. Good thing our national chairman, Sheikh Imam Akbar, had us in the parking lot of the Spartanburg Sheriff Station until this man came down from his office from hiding and had to directly speak to the Lane Reese family. That's Mr. And Mrs. Lane Reese. And so from there, you have Christopher Pratt, who is the attorney that's on the case, that filed a federal lawsuit against Spartanburg County Detention Sheriff. But to this day, black family, we don't have a concrete jury trial, court date set by any means. So, again, they don't view us even worthy of having a decent trial. So this is why we have to, constantly put our families, especially our loved ones, whose bodies they have stolen, but whose spirit is still here, which is what we got to speak on specifically for our black men and women who suffered brutally under this system and who are no longer here to fend for themselves. So we want to give a special shout out because we love our Queen Mother Beverly and Lane family on Black Power Radio to let the world know that the struggle continues, that the fight for justice is always in the forefront for loved ones like Lavelle Lane. We will continue until we get the resolution that we are requesting. And so if it means go to war, hey, it is what it is. If you don't have your army gear on you, there's nothing I can tell you. If you don't have your ticket for the Freedom Train, it's going to leave you no matter what. So the choice is yours, Black family. Arm yourself for justice and continue to fight for these families who have no option in this system that can actively fight as a Panther can fight for our Black family. So with that being said, National Chairman, do we have anyone else on the line that might want to chime in? Do you have any announcements coming up? Please, the floor is yours. Just a constant reminder, April 6th coming up, we had earlier Sister Janae Nzinga, who is the founder and organizer for the Sankofa Conference that's coming up. We had an esteemed guest earlier to speak, one of the guest speakers, and brilliantly speak on the things that are needed concerning our communities. Reparations being on the forefront, educational system on the second, and so we must continue to organize until these come to fruition. Lastly, Haiti, as we speak, a little update concerning Haiti. As of last week, we still have CARICOM, which is a U.S.-led base organization, short for Caribbean Community, that has not yielded to the demands of what the Haitian people would like. Again, the United States is continuing to think that they can organize on behalf of the Haitian people the same compromise organizations and individuals they want to put in place to help so-called build a restorative governance for the Republic of Haiti. And we're not having any of that. So we're going to keep you updated in the next couple of weeks on exactly what is transpiring. There are negotiations that are happening between groups, but again, if Haitian organizations are not at the table, then these conversations tend to be unfruitful in the end. So we look to have some type of resolution. We did give you some history on what happened with Haiti and the Constitution. So if you have not researched and looked into the 1805 Haitian Constitution, that is where it all started. And as you said, mentioned as well, the clauses in there, specifically Article 12, where it stated that no white man can own land or be master of any proprietary in the land of Haiti. That was what set U.S. Afire, ablaze, coming to Haiti in 1915 and demanded for the parliament to remove that clause. And when they didn't, they were arrested, and Haiti has never been the same ever since. So currently we just finished completing a draft, full documented constitution for the Republic of Haiti. And so in the next couple months, it'll be drafting a final copy of what Haitians need, particularly French being one of the languages that create Haiti, but that's not the language that the Haitians want to continue to use. So the word, the language of Creole, which is broken French, is what the Haitians embrace. Many African countries as well is removing French as their official language, as they should. And so I am really ecstatic to hear about this. There's something about using the language of the colonizer if you don't have an option to not use it at any cost. If we weren't here in America, you know, I definitely wouldn't want to speak English. I would like to speak my native language. So if it's Swahili, that would be, learn it if you don't. if it's Hebrew or if it's any other African language that you know that is part of your lineage, really take the time to learn that language because we can communicate continuously in our own language, but we have to make that effort to do that. So Creole, as I said before, is something that we are expanding on, and we are going to continue to utilize that, at least for the country of Haiti. So with that being said, we look forward to hearing some more of our guests coming up on Black Power Radio. We're going to do a follow-up with the African Nine movement. Some of them wanted to do a part three. So if you did miss the show a couple weeks ago, I do encourage you to listen to the last broadcast where we did a full interview with Ramona, Janine, and Jeanette, and Edwin Africa. And it was so powerful to hear live and direct, especially Ramona. Ramona, who actually was burned. Her half of her arm was burned. When you see some of the footage where they just arrested her and handcuffed her while her arm was, like, skin was literally hanging off, and how they tried to shoot any of the members who actually was running out when they dropped that godforsaken bomb in 1985. So these things that we want to pay homage to our living ancestors who are here to give us the real deal live and direct is always a diamond to get that opportunity to hear directly from our original freedom fighters who is continuing to work to this day. So with that being said, we appreciate you again for joining us on Black Power Radio. Please tune in anytime. Call the number 515-605-9889. And if you would like to join our town hall this Thursday, please make sure to text the 323-884-8583 for more information on this, on our D.C. Republic of New Africa town hall.
Ashe.
In the entertainment.
Ashe, ashe.
Now, last but not least. We do have a few more announcements. We do have the Hip Hop Fraternity Awards that will be happening in Atlanta April 7th. And so this is ran by Ken Ivey. So if anyone would like to get more information on how to attend the award show, we have over 40 chapters nationwide. And this is our youth. You know, we have a lot of work to do in that sector. A lot of them are still not conscious yet. And so producing music that protects and respects the black woman, that gives respect to our young black men, that's the type of music that we want our younger generation to gear towards. Right now you do have a lot of raunchy, explicit imagery, especially with rap and hip-hop that we have to see. So we want to honor, and we're looking for artists who are spoken word, dancers, musicians of any kind to contribute to the entertainment portion of our upcoming events. So if you're able, even starting with April 6th in D.C., the Sankofa Conference, then we have the Birth of a New Nation coming up August 18th to the 26th in Atlanta. And then we have our Million Women World Movement happening the last week of October in D.C., and then we're going to have an end cap of our Human Rights Benefit Concert on December 10th, which is International Human Rights Day. And so that location is to be determined. We have three venues, three arenas that we want to actually have this concert, and this will not only benefit reparations for us here, but for the country of Haiti. And so they had about maybe 30 years ago or so, Wyclef Jean did lead the charge of We Are the World type efforts for Haiti. And again, unfortunately, a lot of the funding went to these NGOs, these white supremacy groups. So we have to do it right the last time around. And I think this year, 2024, This is the year of Black Power, where things that we have done in the past that hasn't worked, we do it again, but we do it with the right people this time. The blueprint has been laid out, as you see in the Code of Umoja of Republic of New Africa, is a perfect example of a blueprint laid out by Dr. Obadeli and Queen Mother Moore as one example of how we are to have an alternative governance for our people. But if it's not ran by the right people that's at the helm carrying this so-called legacy, it's going to be dead on arrival. And so we must be at these seats constantly planning for us to get to that finish line of self-determination. So I look forward to Kwanzaa coming up this year, the Juneteenth events coming up as well. There's a lot of good things in store, so just continue to listen to Black Power Radio. And we need, if you'd like to support the efforts of what we do when it comes to revolution, you can always donate at $77Bakers. That's $77Bakers because we're baking a cake of revolution, and it needs some ingredients. So don't leave that out. With that being said, we appreciate you all the time. And we do have a couple of quotes, closing comments. So if anyone would like to chime in and tell our listening audience they may have missed something, the floor is yours. Power to the people.
All right. You knew I was getting a bite to eat in between this. But nevertheless, we have the most informative radio talk show on the Internet, and we have more of what you listen to radio for, and especially if you listen to Black Power Radio, we give you more of what you listen to Black Power Radio for. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight at Black Power Radio and participating. We have a vast listening and participating audience, and we hope that you will continue to support Black Power Radio. Again, at $77Bakers is the key to keeping us on the air, off of welfare, and keeping things going in the house. And we want to rock the mic every time on every episode of Black Power Radio, and we're glad that you made it possible for us to have yet another episode of Black Power Radio. Know again that the same reptilian fighting over here is the same reptilian fighting over there. So whether you're on this side of the water, on the other side of the world, in 180 degrees, you know that that snake has not stopped. That beast will not quit until he has subdued or gotten control. He has only one thing in mind, is to set you up, take what you have, come back to kill you, and come back and do the cover-up. That's step four, do the cover-up and give you non-profit. Is that right, somebody mumbled in the background? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, Tanisha Green Lucci, you right.
God, so job, take it all back, make it all back.
Yeah, we're
exactly
take it back.
Right.
Take it back.
All right. You know, play that song.
Well, again, y'all got some music in the background. Certainly all welcome here at Black Power Radio. Drop it like it's hot, drop it like it's hot. And with all things that have been said, all that you could potentially or possibly say, we know that our beloved brother Marvin Gaye has said it best. Unless it's something we left out or someone we left out tonight, we know you're out of sight. We're right here at Black Power Radio with the best of the best in the East and the West. And you know that you have love and Black Revolution in your heart, because I am Black Panther and I am a Black Revolutionary. Thank you for joining us tonight. And we know that Marvin has said it best. Black Power.
Don't go and say things about my father. God is my friend. He made this world for us to live in. He gave us everything. sister, love your brother, love your brother, love your mother, love your brother.
Don't go and talk about my father.
Fist up for the one that got away. When we left for dead, yeah, the one we gotta say. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey. The only thing you really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights and you stand, watch out for the man, on drugs in your land, guns in your hand. Yes, Mando, COINTELPRO. Don't he open any letters, hit this with the COINTELPRO. Whips and chains, whips and chains. Been around waiting for the shit to change. Your point finger's not acting, just complain. Started in fight, just strip the blame. Kids getting off for murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off our leaders, what the fuck you expect? Violence is the beat, only thing you respect. I watch new scripts today. America had always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror, just drop bombs. Some mothers and the kids, yeah, just today. But shit, I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. So Bobby cut my neck so they wouldn't shoot their weapons. Seen his mama get the news, yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, playing whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a status. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a status. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, playing whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a status. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a status. Crips and blood, pimps and thugs. Body kill their brother, nigga, just because you created these conditions. Racism, segregation in LA. Fed kids on a spoon with the hate. Chase the Panthers out the state. Whoa, run, go inside a run. Tortured that woman in a cell. Broke her out of jail. Now you wanna spread propaganda, but we woke up. No more for you to sell. Devils go to hell. Fred Hampton in the inner city. Building unity with gangs. They working with it. CIA agents. Everything they could to flood the hoods with heroin. At the same time, passed away got heroines. But I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Drug Fred fell asleep inside his bed. Then they shot him dead, bottle in a sack. Yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, the American way. Plays whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, the American way. Plays whips and chains. Kill Sophie, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill King, kill X, kill Fred. She escaped, you put a bounty on her head. Poison water in the air and the food. We already dead, so what else we got to lose? Once we realize the power that we have as a people and put our minds together, we unite to defeat you. Question lies, they teach you. Don't conform to authority, cause under uniforms, human bonds I bleed to. No justice, no peace, what the people say. The indigo's finna go rise and lead the way. 154 cops, but where's that for Trayvon, Grant Rice, Mike Brown, and Freddie Gray? I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Everybody's gone, now they wanna sign and touch us about the revolution, yeah, it's about to start right now.
I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty.
Whips and chains, the American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, the American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey.